I love children, don't you? Oh, okay. I love children. I love grandchildren. You know, the only difference between having your children and your grandchildren? Grandchildren, you can spoil them and send them home, right? And children, that's a different story, but I love children. I especially love to listen to what they have to say. There was a little boy in church with his dad, and as the offering plate was coming down the row, he said, "Don't pay for me, Dad. I'm under five." Things that children say. Very, very interesting. But children do need their dads. And fathers are very important to the family. And God has commanded fathers to be godly men before our children and have a positive impact upon them. Methuselah, in this text of Scripture, the son of Enoch, had lived to be 969 years old. But he had a father named Enoch who had walked with God. I would remind you that, though I doubt any of us would live to be 900 years old, but I would remind our young people this morning that the Bible gives a great promise that if we will walk in obedience to our parents, we shall live long on the earth. Just a thought. Now, you say, well, how long is long? I don't know. God has that determined. But the idea is that there is great blessing in being a young person who listens and obeys what your parents give to you to say and to do. And so here we find there are some lessons from the life of Enoch that are here for us, one as fathers, but there are also some truths interspersed throughout this message that will be applicable to all of us. So would you notice with me in verse number 21 and 22 that the first lesson we learn is that we as dads need to be sure that we get on the right path ourselves. Look at verse 21. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." Then in verse number 22, the indication is that after that time, he had begun to walk with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. So Enoch himself had gotten on the right road. And dads, you and I are the key to a spiritual family. Don't be a dad that passes that off onto your wife. You be the godly man. You be the key to a godly spiritual family. And dads, you are, whether you realize that or not. It is important for us as fathers to make Jesus the center of our life. I think about in the time in which we live that it is easy for us as fathers to have other things be the center of our life. For instance, work. Peter Lynch said, and I quote, "No one on their deathbed ever said, 'I wish I'd spent more time at the office.'" I was in conversation, have been in conversation with a man out of state, and our relationship goes back quite a long ways. And so he and I, he has asked me to disciple him, which is quite challenging over the phone. But he said something that he heard me say years ago when he was a member of this church that I basically had said to him, I said, "Sir, you need to know that when you die, you're not going to say, 'I wish I'd spent more time at work.'" Because he was heavily involved at work. Now, men, the statistics say that we spend 3/4 of our life at work. Now, we have to work. We have to provide for the family. Those are important things that we need to do. I know many people look at working and then looking toward that day when they can retire. And some of you are retired individuals here this morning. Not tired, but you're retired. And but when you think about that, you spend 3/4 of your life working. Now, that's a lot of time working. But when you think about that, as a father, you have to be sure that work is not the center of your life, but it is an opportunity that God has given you to provide for your family, but it ought not to be the center of your life. Men, as fathers, we have to be careful as well that a hobby that we may have, a hobby or two, which is nothing wrong with having that, but our hobbies are not the center of our life. But it's not about what is the center of our life, it's about who is the center of our life. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." So it ought to be able to be said that in your life, Jesus is first. Jesus is at the center of your life. Colossians 3 says this, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What was the Bible saying there? The Bible was saying Christ, who is our life. The Bible is saying is that Jesus, as a godly man, we are to get ourselves, first of all, on the right path, one, being sure we're saved, and then seeking a relationship with the Lord. That is a manly thing to do, by the way. It's a godly thing for us to seek after the face of God and making sure that in our life, Jesus has first place. Not my wife, not my family, not any other people or situations. The number one person that has the center of my life and is at the center of my life is Jesus himself. And so Methuselah had a father, an Enoch, who got himself on the right path to God, and he just sought after God. Dads, would that be true of you? Would that be true? Could you say, Jesus is the center of my life? Enoch was able to have a testimony that he had walked with God. I believe as a result of that, that reveals to us that God was paramount in his life. God was at the center of his life. But notice something else. A second lesson that we can glean from the life of Enoch is this. Is not only be sure you get on the right path, but be sure you are going in the right direction. You know, fathers, there are many cultural today landmines for your children. And dads, we have to lead them in the right direction or they're going to get blown up. I don't mean literally, but what I'm saying is that this culture in which we are living in today is not a friend of godliness. It is not a friend of grace. It is not a friend of the Word of God. And so when you as a father say, I'm going to lead my children in the path of godliness, understand that you're going to have a lot of cultural enemies that are going to come against you, and you've got to say, here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand for the Lord, and I'm going to be sure that I'm getting my children going in the right direction. Now, in light of that, then, let me share with you three ways that you can get your children going in the right direction. Ready? Number one, through teaching. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God then starts with me as a father, starts with you as a father. He is saying to us that we need to teach our children. Here was something I thought about as I was preparing for this message. When God gave you and your wife your children, think about this. As beautiful as they were as a baby, God gave them to you as a lost soul. Think about that. Beautiful, yes. Praise the Lord, they have all their fingers and their toes and eyes. Everything is good. But think about this. As far as their soul is concerned, They did not come into this world automatically as a Christian. They came into this world same way I did, same way you did, as a sinner in need of the grace of God. Now think about this for a moment. Therefore, as moms and dads, we have the responsibility twofold then. One, to lead that child to Jesus Christ. Two, to equip them to serve the Lord with their life. Huge responsibilities. And for us as fathers, we are able and we are supposed to teach them. We are to get them going in the right direction through proper teaching. For instance, teaching them the proper place of material things. There's nothing wrong with material things, but teaching our young people that it's not about, you know, life isn't about all the toys and the trinkets that you can accumulate. And, hey, Dad, I want a four-wheeler. Hey, Dad, I want this. Hey, Dad, I want the keys to the car. Hey, Dad, I want, you know, I want. And praise the Lord if he gives you the ability to supply some of those things. But hear me carefully. It's not about the material things that's going to matter in life. Because one day when your children grow up and they pass away, they're not taking the toys with them. They're not taking the trinkets with them. But they're going to be able to take with them, Lord willing, of faith in God and be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to touch on that here in just a moment. But teach them the proper place of material things. But then along with that, through the teaching, you teach them God's word. You hold in your hand the roadmap for life. So teach your children the word of God. This is so, so important. I know I grew up in a time in which preachers were talking about having family devotions, and there's definitely a place for that. But you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says that we, and I think it's not just for dads, but for moms as well, we are to speak of the word of God when our children rise up, when they go through the day, and when they retire at night. Now, does that mean then I take my Bible and everywhere I go with my children, I'm reading the Word of God to them and saying, here's thus saith the Lord? No, that's not what God is driving at, but what he is saying to them, that we as fathers, we as parents, have a responsibility to teach our young people the Word of God because this is their roadmap for life. And if we do not bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they're going to lean on their own thinking, on their own devices. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. Our understanding will fail us. But if we will trust in the Lord, he shall direct our paths. So as a father, we have the responsibility to teach them the proper place of material things. We have the responsibility to teach them God's word. And we have the responsibility to teach them and show them how to make right choices. And they're going to face all kinds of choices as you did, dads, as you were growing up. And thank the Lord if you had some parents who helped you along that journey. But I'm telling you, as a dad now, you have the responsibility to bring them up and teach them and show them how to make right choices. I've got some things here I think about teaching them, for instance, right choices about alcohol. Teaching them right choices in respect to pornography. Teaching them right choices in respect to purity. Things that your young people are dealing with today, are being faced with today, and showing them, hey, this is how we live. Now, I know sometimes young people don't like to hear this. I didn't like to hear it even when I was a teenager. But once in a while, my parents would drop this line on me when I would ask them why. You ready for it? Some of you are smiling. You know what I'm going to say. And that is just because I said so. Now, I get that one. I said that a few times to my kids. But you know, in the long end of things, it really is better at times to give them an explanation of the why. Here is why we don't do this. Here is why we do this. And that is all part of teaching them and helping them make the right choices. Dads, I think one of the great books of the Bible that will help you in that area is to read and study the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is so practical. It talks about friendships. It talks about relationships toward your parents. I mean, it talks about so much. It talks about godly women. It talks about godly men. It talks about so much in the book of Proverbs because it is the wisdom book. And dads, I would encourage you to just help your children and come alongside your young people and teach them, get them going in the right direction. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. So it's like those children are like arrows, and we want to point them, we want to shoot them in the right direction. And so we then as fathers, we get them going in the right direction through teaching. But secondly, through time. I read that one of the best gifts you can give your children is your wife, your mother. But think about this. One of the best gifts you can give your children is your time. Your time is very, very important. Whether you believe it or not. Your time is critical when it comes to your children. I'm thankful that one of the things that my dad did, he didn't do it a lot, but there were times that my dad would take us, because he earlier in his years of working, he was on the road a lot. So there were times that he would just take me or take all three of my brothers, and he would take us on that trip. Just so that we could spend time with him. Now, we liked it because, yes, we got out of school. But I liked it beyond that reason because I had an opportunity to spend time with my dad. I played sports a lot when I was in elementary years and then even on into high school. And my dad wasn't able to be there a lot for the games, and so I was always thankful when he was able to be there. And I truthfully understood it. But there's just something to be said, dads, about us spending time with our children. I hesitate about saying this because, it, for one, I don't know if it's even really true. But a stat that says that the average dad only spends 2 to 4 minutes a day with his kids. Now, obviously, you can't do any relationship building in 2 to 4 minutes. Sorry, it just doesn't happen. You can't. Say, but preacher, man, I'm tired after I've worked all day, and man, you know, about the last thing I want to do is change a diaper or things of that nature. I'm with you. I know. But I'm telling you, it's important that you spend time with your kids. They need to know that you not only love them, but that you show your love by spending time with them. I'm telling you, listen to your pastor. Some of you have kids this tall right now. Before you know it, they're going to be this tall. And before you know it, if they're daughters, they're going to be walking down some aisle somewhere and getting married. I'm telling you, it goes by so very, very fast. So it's important that you spend time with them. Of course, I'm in a kind of a unique position that I'm in as a pastor. But one of the things that I have a lot of good memories, I believe my girls have a lot of good memories, of things that I would take them out and go soul winning with me, maybe go visit and call on a shut-in, take them to the nursing home with me, things of this nature. You know, that I looked at it more than just, hey, I got to go do my duty. But while I'm doing the ministry, bringing them alongside, whetting their appetite to want to be in the ministry. And I praise God today that two of my daughters are in full-time ministry. Now, I don't give credit to myself, but I tell you, I give glory to God. But one of the things my wife and I did in that process is that we whet their appetite. I never required my girls ever, you must marry a pastor. You must marry a guy that's been called to preach. All I ever expected of them, and I tried to lead them in the right choices, have the right friends and so forth, but I tried to lead them in such a way that they would say, this is the kind of man I'm going to save myself for. I think about my daughter who is in Baltimore, and how that she never, her first date was the man she married. Now, that's because, and again, I didn't lay this out, but she determined in her heart that, one, she wasn't going to marry any man that wasn't going in the ministry. Now, again, I never required that. My wife never required that. I told my daughters, I said, if your husband is a man that works for the garbage company and loves God, I'll praise the Lord with you. So it wasn't a requirement, but I'm telling you, she had this standard built up in her mind. So it wasn't until about 3 years after she graduated from high school, she went off to Bible college, met her husband-to-be, and the rest is history, so they say. She just blessed us with another grandson, so now we have 6 grandsons and 1 granddaughter. It's great, and loving it. But I'm telling you, it was important for us, for Teresa and I, to make sure that we spent time with them. Spend the time with them. And then thirdly, there's another way you can get your children going in the right direction, dads, and that is through your own testimony. Now think about this. All Methuselah, who obviously outlived his dad, ever saw was a dad who walked with God. You see, what you do speaks louder than what you say. I think sometimes fathers can hurt themselves by saying one thing and living one way when they come to church and living totally different when you go throughout your week. I'm telling you, your young people read through that real quick. They would say, hold it, if it's not all that important to Dad, it's really not going to be all that important to me. Methuselah didn't have a dad that way. Enoch was a man who walked with God. There was a man who had a friend who died in a very small town. He knew the friend's son who was living there, so he went by to see Tom's son. He knocked on the door. Tom's son came to the door, and the man stood there and looked at him for just a minute. And the son looked at the older man and said, sir, I don't believe that I know you. And the man said, no, you don't know me. But I knew your father, and I just came by because I wondered if I could see any of your father in you. When I think about that story, I think about this. Can my family see a representation of the Heavenly Father in me, because I am walking with God? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a testimony he lived out in front of his son Methuselah. And we find in the context here that if we are going to be the fathers that God would have us to be, we need, one, to get ourselves on the right path. Secondly, we need to go in the right direction and get them going in the right direction. Then thirdly, be sure you are guiding them to the right place. Look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The right place to guide your young people, very simply, but don't miss this, is to heaven. No, your children don't automatically go to heaven because you are a Christian. Your young people have got to make an individual decision, individual choice in their life. But let it be said that we greatly influence them toward heaven. Methuselah could say, my dad is in heaven. I'm privileged to have my dad still with me. I'm thankful that I can say that if my dad dropped dead today, that I'd be able to say, though while I sorrow not as others who have no hope, my dad is in heaven. Because when he was young, he had made a decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he influenced us toward heaven. Men, I want you to imagine something. Imagine yourself attending a funeral. It's yours. What would your friends say about you? But more importantly, what will your wife and your children say about you at your funeral? I read a very sad note written by a young lady. Listen to what she wrote. It's a suicide letter. But in the letter, she wrote this statement. Tell my wicked daddy I'll meet him in hell. What a sad thing to write. But aren't you glad this morning that we can be able to say that when we know the Lord as our Savior and we live for God, that you don't have to have such a note like that written by your young people, but rather you can say, my dad is with the Lord. Consider, after 969 years, Methuselah finally dies. And standing at heaven's gate is his dad, who walked with God. There's a lot about heaven we don't know. And so I like to think that just maybe, in the kindness and goodness of God, that with our loved ones who were saved and are now in the presence of the Lord, one day when we leave this life, ultimately we want to see Jesus. But could it be that God will have some of our loved ones right there as we enter in to welcome us in? I'm telling you, we need in our lives as dads to just be on that, guiding our young people to the right place, guide them to heaven. What a great privilege it is to be able to lead your children to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Dads, have you had that privilege? Have you had the privilege of leading your son or your daughter to Christ? What a privilege that is. I have I don't want to call it a policy, but there have been times where I have allowed dads in this church to baptize their children. What a privilege that is. Because you see, it's a privilege to be able to lead your children to Christ. But then you want to do the second thing. Not only make sure that they're on the road to heaven, but then guide them toward godliness. Guide them toward godliness. Enoch walks with God. And again, Methuselah sees this. What's dad doing? He's living for God. He's walking with God. He's living for God. And what a testimony to be able to say, you know, sometimes kids will brag about what their dads will do. Hey, my dad works for this company, or my dad does this. But isn't it a great thing for your kids to say, but my dad knows God. My dad lives for God. That's something, if you would, to just say praise the Lord for, that I'm living in such a way that my kids can see God in me. I'm not perfect, but my kids can see God in me. I want to just point them to godliness. Tom Landry was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys for almost 30 years. He was also a very strong Christian, and someone asked him to explain his philosophy of coaching. And he said this, that his job was to make men do what they didn't necessarily want to do so they can achieve what they have actually always wanted to achieve. And this, men, this morning is the task that we have as fathers, is that we would lead our children to do those things which may not seem easy to do in order that proper goals may be reached. And dads, I will tell you, in order for us to do this, we have to have the Heavenly Father's help. This morning in my time with the Lord, I'm reading through the book of Matthew. So I'm in Matthew chapter 5. I start at verse 13. I go through the end of the chapter. It's not until I come to the last verse that I'm convicted, that I am challenged. I want you to turn with me as we close this message out to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see the last verse. This is a good thing for all of us, whether we are a man or not, a father or not, to be able to say, this is what I want to do. Notice in Matthew 5 and verse 48, Jesus is teaching the great sermon on the mount. And he says now, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. Say, preacher, there's none of us that are perfect. Why did Jesus say that? For one, to give us a goal to shoot for. For us to be more and more like our Heavenly Father. So that sent me on a little quick Bible study through the Word this morning. I won't have you turn to the passages, but as I was turning to them, I read, what is my Father like? If I'm to be perfect as He is perfect, if I'm to be like Him, then what is God like? The Bible says He's merciful. The Bible says He's holy. The Bible says that He is just. The Bible says that He is love. And there's many more I could list, but I'm telling you, what a lofty goal for not just dads, not just men, but for ladies as well to say, I want to be perfect. I want to represent my Father well. You know, when as I was growing up, there's things about my Father that I wanted to have in my life. I wanted to be like Dad in certain areas. And I'm sure that for some of you, maybe not all of you, but you might have said, you know, I had that kind of a dad. I wanted to be like him. But let's take that to a spiritual level. We have a Heavenly Father who is perfect, who will never fail us as a father, who tells us over and over and over, I love you, I care for you, I want my best for you. And so the plan for us then as a godly man is to say, God, help me to be like you. Help me to be perfect. Help me to be like you in all I do. Help me to represent in my family what a godly husband is like. Help me to represent in my family what a godly father is like. God, I need your help. Thank you for the children you've given me, but God, I need your help. I can't do this alone. I need you. And you look to Him. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. He will help you be perfect, even as He is perfect. And when you think about this, then you can be able to say, like Methuselah, I believe, said about his dad, my dad walks with God. Men, if your children say nothing else about you in life, let it be said that you as a dad, you know God and you live for Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We close this morning. I want to ask you three questions in respect to the message. One, again, this just isn't for fathers. This is for all of us. Are you on the right path? Are you on the right path? Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? There be some person here this morning and say, Pastor, I don't know if I die to go to heaven, but I want to know. I really do. I need Jesus as my Savior. If that's you this morning with your heads bowed, would you just raise your hand up right where you're at and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I die to go to heaven, but I'd like to know. I wonder this morning there'd be those here that would say, Pastor, I want to lead my children in the right direction. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I want to lead them in the right direction. I want to lead them toward God. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need as a dad. I just need victory in this area. I want to lead my children toward God. Anybody at all, just lift your hand up. Put it right back down. See, yes, Gus, God bless you. Someone else. Say, Pastor, that's my need. I'm weak in this area. The desire is there, but I really need wisdom from God to lead my children in the right direction. Just lift your hand up. Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else? Then I wonder this morning, there'd be some here that say, Pastor, I want to lead my family with an example of godliness. I really haven't been spending time with God as I should. I really haven't been spending time in His Word. I know I'm saved, but in this area, I'm coming up short. I really am. And I would that you remember me in prayer, Pastor, that I would grow in godliness. That's the need in my life. Would you lift your hand up where you're at as a dad? So yes, that's my life. Yes, God bless you. And others as well. Others as well. God bless you. Anybody else? Either as a dad or not a dad, say, I really need to grow in this area of godliness. I really do. I need to represent my Heavenly Father well. I need to grow in this area. Just lift your hand up. Put it right back down while we wait. Anybody else? Now, Father, I'm so thankful that you see the hearts of all people. Help us as your people to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to represent you well here on this earth. Help us to please you in all that we do. Help us as men to desire you more than we want anything in life. More than we want a new car, more than we want a new house, more than we want money. More than anything in life, we want you above all. May you be at the center of our life. For this precious one that's raised their hand in respect of just growing in godliness, help them to grow this very week in that area in their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Now would you just, with our heads bowed, just sing with me. Thank you, Lord, for